This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. You can't get just one. Okay, so that's not like some marketing hyperbole. You literally can't get just one. They come in twos. So like, if you want just one, you're going to need to find a friend who loves slow-roasted chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch sauce. Or a friend of a friend, or have an awkward conversation with a complete stranger to see if they're obsessed with chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch. Or you could just like eat them both because you're obsessed with slow-roasted chicken, bacon. Okay, you get the idea. The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. At participating Taco Bell U.S. locations for a limited time while supplies last.
You're listening to the Pennsylvania Woodsman, powered by Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network.
This show is driven to provide relatable hunting and outdoor content in the Keystone State and surrounding Northeast.
On this show, you'll hear an array of perspectives from biologists and industry professionals
to average Joes with a lifetime of knowledge.
All centered around values aiming to be better outdoorsmen and women,
both in the field as well as home and daily life.
No clicks, no self-interest, just the light in the pursuit of creation.
And now, your host,
the pride of Pennsylvania,
the man who shoots straight and won't steer you wrong,
Johnny Appleseed himself,
Mitchell Shirk.
Mitchell Shirk.
Mitchell Shirk.
Mitchell Shirk.
Hey everybody, thanks again for tuning in to this week's episode of the Pennsylvania Woodsman Podcast. As always, I'm glad you are here, glad you are with us on the first week of March, and I hope you've been able to do some woodsman-type stuff. I felt kind of good this past weekend. I was able to get out and go for a nice walk. It was a fairly nice day on Saturday. Got to go for a 3 to 4 mile walk, looped kind of around an area at my cabin, and found a matched set of sheds. I thought it was pretty cool. I took a loop on a side hill, walked up into the top, and got into some thick laurel, and found some very good signs, some stuff that, it's been a long time since I was in that area, and going back into it, there was some surprising things that told me I probably missed some decent hunting there this past year, and one of those things I should keep on my radar, and two specific spots that I might hunt again in the future. But now walking through, I found a matched set of sheds. They were close to a spring between really thick patches of laurel on a bench. So, you know, I've seen deer winter in laurel patches often. And I don't know, if you know, if you ever shoot a doe and you're hunting in the vicinity of a laurel, I don't know if you ever cut open the stomach or not, but I have done that many times just to see what they are eating. And I don't know if I've ever cut a doe's stomach open that didn't have laurel in it from October through January. If I'm hunting in it, you know, in a mountain range that has laurel, I just think it's a common food that the doe eat. I mean, I'm sure buck do too, but doe especially, I see have laurel content in their stomach often. And then that time of year, there was some acorns that had fallen. There was still acorn shells on the top of the ground, which told me they must have been digging it somewhere, had some leftover food, and that's what had the deer there. So good information to have. Really, it was just good to get out. Good to get out and definitely realized how fat and out of shape I have gotten over this past winter. And man, it is just getting harder and harder to live a fairly decent lifestyle as far as how healthy we are. At least it is for me. So one of the 2025 goals is to come up with a plan of not eating so darn much and getting a little bit more exercise so I can enjoy these types of things a little bit better. And one of the things that'll motivate me is the fact that turkey season is coming up. It's going to be here a lot faster than I'm ready for it. It's usually how things happen. And I decided this week, and I'm going to try to do a couple more leading into turkey season, we're going to do a calling series. And I want to go through some, you know, box call, pot calls, slate calls, whatever you want to call them, and mouth calls, and kind of going through and the ins and outs of learning why, you know, how you use them, you know, situational things. And I want to get some call makers and some interesting turkey hunters. And who better to get us than my buddy Jason, who, you know, he's been on the show multiple times. I've done some hunting with him and loves making turkey calls. He's a turkey hunting fanatic, and he loves to help people, loves to talk turkey. And he came over and we had a discussion about mouth calls and kind of going through some of the different cuts, the styles, entry level versus expert level, and the types of cuts you might use. We talk about materials and why some materials that he's using are a little bit different and how they're pretty good. A little bit of a comedy section in there, and you'll see why when you listen in. But it's a great informational thing when you're thinking about buying turkey calls. And I really encourage you guys, if you're looking to get a couple of mouth calls this spring, you want to get some new ones, I encourage you to try stuff that Jason makes. And I bring up a couple good points that go in his favor for trying calls that he makes, because he's a custom call maker, because he's willing to help you and give you information, and because, you know, you can tell him what your experience level is and what you like out of turkey calls and stuff. He can custom make calls that you would enjoy, and you might be able to find more cuts, more calls quicker that you like than buying a three pack somewhere and maybe one of the three calls for, you know, a big box store type turkey call you like. So let's jump into this episode with my buddy Jason on turkey calls. As always, before we do, shout out to our partners and the companies that support us and help us make this show go possible. And that's Radix Hunting. Guys, if you are looking to use any equipment for turkey season, the two pieces of equipment Radix has to offer that comes to my mind is the Monarch Blind. Their Monarch Blind pop-up is quality, and you'll find quality across the board in all the gear that they have. But good position of windows, silent all around, sturdy piece of equipment, and also the trail cameras. I've raved about Radix trail cameras. The M-Core cell cameras and the Gen 700 have quality pictures. So Radix has something to offer for anybody, and I encourage you to go to radixhunting.com and check out their gear. And also Huntworth. So if I had to recommend you check out any piece of equipment for early season mobility type stuff and turkey season, I would get a pair or two of Durham pants. They are, first of all, extremely comfortable, have all the great flexible points for mobility. They've got great pockets. I think they're one of the best hunting pants I've ever worn, and they're great for scouting, too. If you're going to be walking around in mobile, check out Durham pants. But there's a lot of great things to offer. First of all, a lot of their hoodies have built-in head nets. Awesome for turkey season. Check out huntworthgear.com and keep your eyes open throughout the year. They have numerous sales that you can capitalize on. Huntworth, let's get to this episode with Jason. And I think one of the things, like, there for a while, I think the places I was turkey hunting, the population wasn't quite as good as it was. As it is now, it seems like it's improving some of the places I've hunted, but going back out to a place that had more turkeys just made it more exciting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when I hunted the same places over and over again and wasn't really getting better, it was harder to brand. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It was just harder to get excited about it.
No, it does make sense because, like, up until the other year when Andy and Pierce and I went to the Pittsburgh area, you know, it was tough to find one bird around the house, and then you'd hunt that bird. And if you made a mistake on that bird, you were done for the day.
Right.
You know, where now you're hunting places where, okay, like if you think of that story with you and your buddy last year, the last day, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was the
last weekend anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it was just perseverance that paid off, you know, like, hey, you know, I know they usually do this. And if you think of my first bird last year, like I had to stay in a hometown area because of the funeral I had to go to.
Yeah.
And I go, well, I'm going to go to where if in the past they were here, they were at this spot, and I get one. You know, so it never hurts to keep hunting.
No, it doesn't hurt to keep hunting, but keeping tabs. And I'm paying more attention in the early season more than I used to. Like today, I was at a farm. I met a potential new client we're going to do some work for in the area he's in. He's got a lot of ground. It's an area I work in, but I was driving some new roads, and like today I saw a flock of like 40 plus birds out in the field.
Wow.
And it was kind of funny because it's, you know, I'm making this connection. He's got ground, and I go into his office and I'm looking, and he's got the Grand Slam across his back wall. And I said, how does a farmer like you, who is farming this many acres, find time to spring turkey hunt? And he goes, you don't find it, you make it. But he's like, yeah, I wanted to shoot the Grand Slam. So he had all four of them there. And we were talking about it. He said, he's 64 years old, 63 years old. And he said, I've owned land in Steuben County, New York for X amount of years. He said, I've never killed a turkey there. He said, that's going to change this year. He goes, I'm taking off in planting season, and I'm going turkey hunting. I was like, so cool that you met a turkey hunter, but I was thinking, darn, that would have been neat if he didn't turkey hunt, and I could have asked him to hunt there.
Yeah, when you see that, you know you're not asking.
But, well, familiar voice for anybody who's listened to this in the past. I got my buddy Jason back, and I figured perfect time of year. I wanted to talk about, beyond the turkey stories, BS stories, the experiences, the strategies. I wanted to talk about calls especially, because one thing I have learned getting to know you and playing around with so many calls is before, when I would go and get a call, like if I'd go to a big box store, whatever, and buy a 3-pack, I didn't know what I was getting. I mean, I'd look and say, okay, there's 3 different cuts. I'll try them. I might find one that I liked, and that was it. And I didn't really understand a lot about the cuts. And I think with the setup you have and then, like, the luxury of playing around with all these different calls, hearing your calls, and then getting backstory to the cuts, the tensions and stuff like that, I've learned that I'm actually a better caller than I think I am sometimes, because I got to play with stuff and learn what works and pressures and stuff. And I figured this would be an awesome time to talk about how you make calls, how you're getting into what makes you decide the things you do and the tinkering, and then maybe getting people to understand, you know, maybe this is something I should try based on stuff. Because I'm sure you've had all kinds of conversations. So this is year 6, for making calls?
Yeah, fourth year, I think, selling them. Well, I shouldn't. Yeah, so the first 2 years was for me and my buddies. Third year, I kind of sold a few around the area, and then this is my third year actually selling them. And it's funny, I talk to people now. I had a guy the other day, oh, I can't use mouth calls. I said, I bet you can. A lot of people don't know you can trim this tape. Like now, I saw when I just gave you these new ones, you don't. They fit your mouth perfect, so that's good. But the funny thing is, I think I mentioned on one of our podcasts before, when I bought my new system and I have the cutter that makes them look real nice. So I'm all excited about this. I whip one up, I put it in the cutter, I cut it, and I take a scissors and trim it down. My wife's head almost explodes. She goes, what, you paid for that? And then you cut it with the scissors anyway? I said, well, I had to get it to fit, you know.
But you know what you like.
Yeah, so you have to get it bigger, and I can trim it down. I think a lot of people don't realize that if you trim that tape, anytime air goes over that tape, you're going to get a sound of just airflow and not your reeds vibrating. So, like, you trim the tape very small increments. Try it. Trim it again, you know, one side to the other, follow the whole arc. And then once you find the way it sits in the roof of your mouth and blocks all the air and all the air goes under it, that's how it is. So, yeah, I've cut so many of these for myself that I know I just pick it up. If you look at your call, the full-size call, it has that little diagonal cut at the bottom.
Yeah.
I know I go middle to middle, and it'll fit me perfectly.
Okay.
You know, but I've also bought some in the past where, yeah, I go too aggressive, and now it's too short, and I can't make a sound out of it.
Well, I was going to say, because I was going to ask you that, because I, years ago, I think when I first started trying to learn how to use a mouth call, I did cut some, and what I had remembered is, even if I cut it too short, I could still place it somewhere in my mouth and still get a good turkey sound.
Yeah, but it probably didn't feel right.
It didn't, no.
Yeah.
And then from there, I just was like, well, I was there again, I was too afraid. I was going to ruin a call. You spend, I don't know what turkey calls cost nowadays, but I mean, you buy a 3-pack of most turkey calls, I'm assuming it's 20, 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Probably 30 bucks. And, you know, I was afraid I was going to ruin a call, especially one you like. And usually you get the three. What would happen for me a lot of time if I'd buy up something from, you know, a lot of time I was getting Primos, HS Strut, stuff like that. And this is the truth for me. Like, I'd buy a 3-pack. I'd be lucky if I'd find one I liked. And
yeah.
I'd ran that. That was the only one I'd run that year.
Yep. And that's how I was. I love Night and Hail.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It was probably a combo cut, to be honest with you. But, I would buy a 3-pack of that every year for that one call. I could never find it on its own. I'd spend 20 bucks. Now, this is 10 years ago, whatever. But I'd buy that one call and the other two. Like, it was so high-pitched, and I wasn't good enough to. Mm-hmm. Like, now I gave you that ghost cut, and you're like, ooh, this one here's a finisher or a young Jenny. You know what
right.
I mean? Back then, I had no idea. I put it in blast on it. You know what I mean? So I would throw those other two right in the trash. Now, fortunately, I make so many for myself. Like, my whole table's covered with,
yeah, I know,
with trying this and trying different stretches or whatever. But, like, let's say you'd want to buy them and you live in my area. I always say, come over to the house. You know, we have a beer or two, whatever. And then I'll run my calls so you can hear what you might say. Oh, I like that one. It's raspy. Some people like rasp. Some people don't, whatever. But so that's the benefit of, like, getting hands-on. But as far as if you buy them online or you buy them, like, I actually just got in a store with them the other day again, which was nice. So I explained to that guy, hey, here's what I have. This cuts this, or these are beginners. These are middle of the road, and these are a little bit more not expert level calls. But it's funny. I said to him, if you have he has a new gun shop opened up. And I said, if someone comes in here and turkey hunts, they'll look at these cuts and know that's what I want. You know, so you don't have to explain much. If they don't know what they're looking for, sell them the 3-pack. There's something in there for everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like you mentioned about a 3-pack is usually, you know, 25, 30 bucks. So I'll ship a pack of 3 for 20 bucks.
Yeah, you know, that covers you for shipping
yeah.
and stuff like that.
You know, just so if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
Like, because I never really say my price when I go on Facebook, now you've probably seen it the other day, I put out a blast, hey, it's getting close. I don't like to put my price on there because there's a lot of other guys that I know that sell calls. Like, I became friends through making them, and they're all like $9 to $12 a piece. I feel bad saying, hey, I'll sell you one for $5 or whatever. But yet, I guess I shouldn't care because.
Well, it is what it is. And you told, I think you might have even said it on a podcast last year, but I want you to say it again because the goal you had in your call making is probably different than most stuff when you think about small business extra stuff because, you know, anytime you think about adding on to something else, a business or something, you're trying to make it cash flow, profitable, something worthwhile. And not that this isn't, but you had a different outlook on it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it started as small as I just wanted to not pay for my calls.
Right.
So if I could sell enough that, you know, mine are free. Well, that happened the first year.
Right.
You know, because it there's not much to this. Once you have the setup. So, like, I'm to the point now where everything I have is paid for. So, you know, I don't ever have to sell another call. I'm not going to lose.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what I do is I have this problem of, oh, well, that's a neat color, or that's a neat thing. And
oh, so you're a shiny objects person.
Yeah, so I'll buy like a different color tape. And actually looking at what you have here, like now you know looking at these, the black and orange ones are prophylactic.
Yes.
You know, so I'm getting into a color code now. So the more things I want to make, I got to get another color, whether it's a green tape, you know, or whatever. Like, I don't want to double up on anything because then it's easy for you to say, hey, I like that black and orange one. I know exactly what you mean. You know what I mean?
I do.
So
one question I had for you, Jason, you were talking about you'll run a call. If somebody comes over to your house, you like to run calls for them, different calls, different sounds, let them pick what they like.
Yeah.
But I'm curious for yourself. Now, you've turkey hunted over 30 years, and you have an ear for a turkey and stuff like that. But did you ever go into the extreme of listening to hens on the roost and going back and making calls or videoing or getting videos and saying, I want to mimic this sound. How do I get this in a call I make?
Well, I don't know if you remember the first podcast we did, I believe, on turkeys. I went out to, I don't know if I was moving a stand or what. For whatever reason, I went out and I didn't think there was any turkeys around my house. And I hear a hen yelp and I was like, oh, wow, there's some here. Now, it was early. It was probably like now. It was...
Yeah, like when they're first starting to get,
yeah, so,
get weird.
Yeah, it wasn't where I was excited because it was so far away from hunting that, hey, you know they're not going to be there. But I stood back and I listened. And this one particular hen, when she would call, I'd hear this gobbler down in the hole. The rest of them could make whatever noise they wanted. And when she would go, he would gobble. And she was very raspy, very heavy. I went home and I made like 4 or 5 calls until I found that one. And I killed a bird there like the month later. Now, whether it was that or not, but I used that call because I'm thinking she seemed to be the boss here when he was there. And was it the one? I'd like to believe it.
Right.
You know, but stuff like that. Yeah, I went and listened to him. Another thing, like, you might like something that I don't like. That's why there's so many different ones. In reality, if I sold you that black and yellow combo cut, you could travel Pennsylvania, and you're going to kill birds with that call. You know what I mean? But, look, you have box callers. You have pot callers. You have, you know, everyone likes their own thing. And that's kind of like why you have to make so many mouth calls, because I know what I like might be a little different than what you like. And I remember that one story you told where you were hammering on that one, and your buddy went the other way and threw a different sound at it, and that was all it took. You know, so you can't go in with one call in your bag because you don't know what's going to work today or not.
Well, and that exact story you told, that has made me realize that I need to get outside of my head and thinking, what do I like to hear?
Yeah.
I need to remember a gobbler's got to tell you what you like. I mean, what I've tried to train myself is I might have a call that I like to work. It's to me, it sounds good to my ear. It's simple to work, and I can make maybe a variety of specific sounds I'm aiming to go for. And that's usually when I'll say, that's my starting point.
Yeah.
And then if I work it, like let's say if we're a running gun situation, I'll work a bird, and it just doesn't seem like that's working, then I'll change a sound. So one of the things I wanted to do, and I'm going to bust your chops on this one. I swear we need to have like a Friday night round table discussion with all these calls out, and we need to start picking some of our best ones and favorites. We need to start coming up with some names with these so we can stop going back and forth with the orange one with the combo cut and the Jason special.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I totally agree with you. And we talked about this before. I'm as I'm as creative as a stump. You know what I mean? So there's no way I'm going to sit here and name these calls. But what I thought about doing was maybe putting something out there. Because, like, if you look at some of the things on Facebook, there's funny people out there, smart people. You know, someone might throw something out there that sticks. You know what I mean? So I thought about doing something like that. But I agree. Because it's easier than, which color were you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, if we name them, and I'm totally not against that. It's just I know I can't do that myself because I can't think of stuff like that.
So the first call you ever gave me, and it's still, to my understanding, still probably your favorite call, and it's the one that when people don't know what they want, that's the one you'll give them. It's a yellow one combo cut, right?
Yep.
And that call has just enough rasp. You can get pretty aggressive with that call. You can cut hard with it. It's a great call. I use it. I like it. You made it in that orange prophylactic. So I know that's your go-to, but when you think about, and this is a big open-ended question, I'll let you take it how you want, but when you think about beginning of the season to the end of the season, and you think about first light off the roost till quitting time, do you change mouth calls based on any of that with what you can do with them?
Well, like what I found is I don't – see, I used to be one of these guys that if you had a turkey right up here on your hill and if we were set up right here, he'd gobble, I'd call, he'd gobble, I'd call. I didn't know any better. You know, one thing you got to learn, and this is one thing, like if anyone would ever see me on the street, and you or Mark or anything – If someone would want to sit down and pick my brain, I would sit down and talk to them for hours and probably save them a lot of mistakes that I made.
Sure.
You know, and that's one thing, like picking up Andy and Pierce. Like Andy in 4 years had become a very good turkey hunter because I saved him the 10 years of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, he still made some mistakes, but yet...
Well, you're always going to.
Yeah, he shot that big bird 2 years ago and he shot a Jake last year, but... So in 4 years, he got two birds and made some really good decisions. As a matter of fact, him and Pierce went back out after we did our podcast. They were actually out there. Yeah, and he got a second one. And they made a lot of good maneuvers. So it's the woodsmanship. It's the calling. And, you know, like I've learned a lot. Like I don't care what call you have. If I would call, if you remember that one I got 2 years ago up near my house, I only called two times, if you remember, and an hour later, he hammered the whole time, just wanted me to call. Where when I was younger, I would have called back.
Oh, you just kept hammering.
So I don't know if it mattered what call I used that day. It just mattered how I used it. You know what I mean? That particular day. Now, there's other days where, like, matter of fact, the picture on my packaging that Mark took, we were out there near Pittsburgh, and Mark's dropped back 20 yards. I'm over here. I'm hitting it with that combo, and they light up. Mark would go first, like we have this thing where, hey, you go, and then I'll jump in. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't make a peep to him. The minute I hit that black and yellow one, boom, they were on it. And not that – you know Mark's a good caller, so it wasn't nothing to do with that. It's just whatever pitch I had that day, that's the one these two gobblers wanted to hear. So you never know. You know, it goes back to that story we just mentioned with you and your buddy. You know, your buddy came around just threw a slate call or whatever. It just – sometimes that's all they need to hear. So – It's always good, like, if you remember years ago, I told you a story about Pierce's first bird. It did that whistle, and I knew the bat wing cut, I could do that. I threw it in, and I did it, and the hen ran right to the decoy. Well, then you know he's coming. You know what I mean? So it's just like you got to have that bag of tricks and know what your calls can do. Like, it's funny. I see you have your calls laid out here. You said you were practicing last night. So you know, you even have it written on the case, what each one's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're out there, if you know what you think, oh, I'm going to try this one, you know what you're going to throw at it next. You're not just doing it. You're strategically making a move here with these calls.
So the one question I wanted to ask you, because you're going to do a better job of explaining it to me. So, like, it's exactly right. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cases. You just gave me a couple new calls for me to try out. But I do. I wrote on them what they do. I have my own language to myself and what the sounds I can make and stuff. And then I wrote them on there. And I was trying to figure out if there's a trend in the types of cuts, the types of latex and stuff like that that made certain sounds, or is it not as much the cuts as it is the pressure that goes into those reeds?
It's a little bit of both. Like my friend George at work, who I've mentioned on this podcast before, I gave him a couple. Like he's a guy who tests my stuff.
Okay.
Because you know I know what I hear. Like you said, you know what you hear. Right. But I like to hear George's take, or I'll give Mark every new one I make. But like George talks about a lot about tongue pressure on the back of his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he might put that in there a little bit different than I do. But like, so it also goes with the stretch side to side.
Okay.
So I want to get this right here. The further you stretch it, I believe it's the higher the pitch. I have it all right.
That would make sense.
You know what I mean? So like that's where the combo cut, I know every time I make it exact. So with this new equipment I got like 2 years ago, if I give you a combo cut and I take one and Mark takes one, it should be the same exact call.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's the thing. Once you get the pressure, like a lot of the two reed calls I make are stretched less because it doesn't take much to use them. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know what you think, but I think my calls are easy to run.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it takes a lot. You're not huffing to get them to make a noise.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'll never forget, I ran a couple of HS Strut ones from years ago. This is over 10 years ago. But I remember, like, I felt like I was breaking the call in. Like, I was working this call, and I struggled to make the sounds I wanted, and I don't know that I ever did. But I just remember there were certain calls I've had over the years that were very, very hard to run. And like now, like that one you just gave me, like I don't know what we're calling this one.
We'll let you name that one because you like that
I'm going to name it. But like I'm not lying. When you gave me this call today and I worked it, my eyes lit up because it literally was just so easy to use. The sounds I was making, I'm not that great of a caller, but to me it sounded versatile in what I could do. But like so you kind of answered my question. I'm going at this from – There's two sides of the spectrum here that I'm looking at. One is volume. Some calls are easy to get loud volume. Some calls you want to get soft vocal, like the under your breath type stuff. It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
So you've got volume control, and then you've got, I don't know if pitch is the right word. All right, everyone, it's that time of year where things are greening up and I'm starting to think about food plots. And if you're doing the same thing, look no farther than Vitalize Seed, specifically Nitro Boost spring and summer planting. It's the food plot that has the ability to fix atmospheric nitrogen and add diversity to your food plot mix. It's highly browse tolerant and adds a ton of benefit, not just to the wildlife, but for your soil. 30% more diversity than any other food plot you're going to find, and it's engineered for the proper carbon to nitrogen ratio to naturally feed your soil biology and set you up for a fall food plot like no other. Diversity is king for your wildlife and for your soil. Look no farther and check out Vitalize Seed.
Dreaming of owning a hunting property, small farm, or remote homestead? Or maybe it's time to sell and move on to your next adventure. Whatever your dream is, Steve Choco and Base Camp Country Real Estate can make it happen. Base Camp Country Real Estate land professional Steve Choco is dedicated to providing unparalleled service in the land real estate market. With national advertising power that turns for sale into sold fast, visit us online at chocoforester.com or call Steve today at 814-360-4510. Again, 814-360-4510.
It is to a degree, but you've got, you know, high and clean, low and raspy type stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of differences in that. So when you start looking at all these calls, we've got so many names. I mean, we've got this one's a bat wing. This one is a
look at that ghost cut I just gave you. You can't blow that one hard. where right. it's going to screech like you're choking a kid. You know what I mean? It's, but I told Mark the other day, I'm not going to sell that to anybody, but like I gave you one, Mark one, George one, I have one, and Andy and the kid have one, Pierce. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'm going to sell those to anybody else because here's the way I look at it. If I put that in a three-pack and you don't get to talk to me, like I gave you that and said, here, Mitch, you got to blow this one very soft, right? So I could tell you that and you did it and you see what that call could do for you in a finishing situation, mm-hmm. right? But if I just put that in a pack and sell it at that gun shop to a guy I have no idea, he puts that in and blasts on that ghost cut, he'll be like, oh, these Miller calls are garbage.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So I said to Mark, I'm not even putting those out there because of running the risk of everyone's going to want to go all out, heavy, cackling. You know what yeah. I mean? And well, that call's not made for that.
Right.
You know, so.
And let's face it, with what you're doing with making turkey calls, your niche market is spring turkey hunting, yeah. which is, and I'm not saying this to sound bad or anything, but like a lot of people want to cut hard. They want to call yeah. loud. They want to cut hard because it's exciting. Yeah. It's fun. But I'm to the point now I do that very, very little. I'm to the point sometimes where
I hunt 2 days a year.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like to hunt with other people who do aggressively yeah. call because sometimes I think I'm actually putting myself in a headlock that I won't call loud. But the reason I brought that up, and I think it's good to have somebody like you that makes custom calls because I'm able to be like, hey, I'm looking for this. And one of the things, like I like to fall turkey hunt. I don't do it much, but I do like to do it. And probably, unless it's like a flock of gobblers, my favorite thing is to take a call like that pink ghost cut that's high pitched. You can't run hard, but it just sounds like a Jenny. And
yeah, that key run you did with that was very nice.
You can do some awesome keys with that, but that's a very specialized call. I remember the first three calls you gave me, I couldn't run a key.
Yeah. So like, I remember you saying that. You actually flipped the one upside down yeah. to get it to do that.
Yeah, and I there was when I was trying to learn, and this is all the same time I'm learning how to do some under-the-breath type low stuff, like when they're feeding and clucking and whining and all that weird stuff that they do. That was some of the things I did. I'd run it like a double reed and flip it upside down just to try to figure out what I was trying to make. And
yeah.
Sometimes I think it's with running calls like this, it's as much like trying different stuff and just trying to, it's almost like you got to like get weird and try to make different sounds that are almost like too far, but that way you can figure out the limits of the call. Does yeah. that make sense?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, if you look at how many calls you hear, what do you think you have? 15 calls, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't even know.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, I think.
Okay, so you have 13 calls. So you have, imagine if you bought these at Cabela's today, you got $100 sitting there.
Right.
Easy. To find that you might like one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the good thing is when you find one you like, or let's say someone who bought mine before or whatever, like that gun shop that I took him to the other day, he said, oh, my dad and brother hunt. So I gave them each one of the combo cut yellow and orange.
Okay.
And the next day he's like, oh, my dad loved them. So now I'm hoping that when he's in the shop, he could tell people, hey, you know, whatever, whatever. You know what I mean?
So. I do.
You have the luxury, I have the luxury, Mark and George have, you know, that, hey, try this one.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're going to spend your money, like, so I'll put a three-pack together. I'll, like, if someone would text me and say, I want a three-pack, I'll say, what level are you? You know, if they say, hey, I killed 20 birds already, I'm giving them the black and yellow, probably one of the orange and black ones, and that white batwing cut, because those three calls will do anything you want to do. But if right. you say, hey, I'm new to it, I'm going to give you just a straight two reed, maybe that V-cut one that we talked about, the black and red one. This one.
Yeah.
That, you know, so I'll give someone something that's easy to run, and then maybe next year they'd buy the little bit harder. You know what I mean? But like a guy like me and you who's hunted for a while, and like you talk about you call soft. Me and Mark, when we hunt together, we make a perfect combo because – he calls like you. He calls soft, little clucks, putts here and there. And then, like, so we'll stop at a spot. We'll be like, okay, call. Mark will call a little bit. Then I come in with my loud, over-the-top cackling. But if Mark gets him to go, well, then I never fire up.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if Mark doesn't go, then I jump in. And just for the record, to all the people listening out there, Mitch doesn't hunt 2 days because he's got no time for it. He kills two in the 2 days he goes. Yeah, I was no cut at Mitch.
But you got to keep in mind that that hasn't been the norm for most of my life. So I'm pulling a couple calls out here just so I can visualize and try to, because, you know, here we are, we're in person. You and I are looking at this stuff, and there's people listening to this, and they're probably going to be trying to visualize what we're talking about. So, like, I've got this one's a combo cut, which is one of the ones that you really like to run. This is the ghost cut. This is a V cut. I don't know what you call some of these other ones. This is the new one you just gave me.
Yeah, so that's almost like a combo cut with so I'm talking now to the viewers who can't see what we're looking at. So the triangle that you have in your combo cut, I put a slit in it. Mm-hmm. You can see that?
Yes.
It's very fine because it's just a thin scissor. So now you got those almost like a snake tongue.
Yes.
Vibrating around like crazy. I can't see that one.
This one, you gave me this one last year.
Oh, okay. So that one there is a combo cut with a, so on the right side, which is usually just a slit.
Yep.
You see how I cut a 16th of an inch out?
Yes.
So it's not just that slit. You have more of the underreed showing.
Right.
That's a good call, too. I don't know what you thought of it.
It is.
But that's Mark's favorite call right there.
Yeah, that was the one that we ran in Maryland last year. He ran that one more. I ran this one more last year. This is the one. You gave this one to me, the prophylactic combo cut, the same time you gave me this one.
Yeah.
And I gravitated towards this one more.
Yeah, and Mark loved that one.
Yeah, he did. So V cuts, combo cuts, all this stuff. Do you have like an idea in your mind? Like when, let's say I come to you, Jason. I'm new. I wanna buy calls, but I'm fairly new to turkey hunting, and I'm fairly new to using mouth calls. I've used them. I played around with them. I could get decent turkey sounds, but I'm trying to learn. Do you have in your mind with some of these cuts a beginner, medium, expert level with these cuts?
So that red and black V cut. It's a two reed call, just a triangle. Would you say that's a triangle cut in the middle? It's like sort just of. A V.
And right this is front. A two reed, right?
Yep. So that one there, matter of fact, it's good for beginners, but it's also good for us. And then that white one that you have there, the bat wing, that's also a two reed.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a little harder to use than that, but not much. Like I said,
it's raspy.
My calls feel real easy to,
yes.
to make run at, but that is raspier. Now, I also make one that just has two reeds that aren't cut at all. That's mm-hmm. like the super beginner one.
Yes.
But I got to say, I don't sell many of those unless someone says, look, I've never done it before. I'll give them one of those. But I feel like these are easy enough to run that if you get a three-pack, I'll put the white one in with the bat wing,
mm-hmm.
the red one with the V-cut, and then I always throw in my yellow and black combo cut.
Yeah.
Because to me, you could start with either one of the white or black and then go to that combo, like probably by the time the season started, if you bought them today.
Right. Is this?
That one there is a three reed bat wing that I cut the middle out of, too.
Okay.
I sliced the middle
out. So it's similar to the prophylactic?
Close, but you see how the cuts are even?
Yes, I do.
Where that other one on had a right short side. Look, you could take one of these and make any cut you want. Like, you could say to me, hey, make some crazy cut. Like, if you look at some of the ones you see online.
Yeah, some of them are ridiculous.
Yeah,
now.
And I mean, all it is the more surface space that isn't straight, the more you're going to have other sounds.
Okay.
So, like, you could cut what would look like shark teeth. I should try one because it probably would sound pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So, everyone out there is making crazy cuts because they want to be the one who... Oh, this is different. This is new. And that's great. But in reality, think of these old timers. They'll walk out there with one box call and kill 1,000 turkeys in their
right.
life. You know, you find what you like. Like, I'll always go back to my combo cut one, even though these other ones, like that one I gave you tonight, I think sounds tremendous. But I'll always gravitate back to the killer, you know?
So And one of the, I think the reason I ask you that, because like, even me, I've turkey hunted my whole life. I'm still pretty, I'm still learning a lot about cuts and what they do. Like, before I was just the idiot that would put a call in my mouth. If I could make it work, and I'd go turkey hunting. And I'm really trying to understand better if there's a difference in the sound based upon the cut or the stretch, which you've talked about that.
Which
now.
Is there's, actually there's the answer difference. To that is both.
It is both.
Yeah.
So if I come to you and say, I really want to try to get something to sound soft. I want that call. Like, you know what I like. Are you thinking that it's... But it's the same thing. It's the combination of the two in most cases.
So what I would do if you said, hey, I want something soft and clear, let's say, I would make that prophylactic ghost cut because that barely takes any effort to use. And if you try to use that hard and heavy, it's going to squeal on you.
Right.
You know, so I have a guy who way back in 94 when I started, guy's named John. John, very good turkey hunter. Matter of fact, back then already, I think he had like 20 kills or something. And I was just getting into it, and he was laid off of work or whatever, and he took me. So we hadn't talked in years and stuff, and somehow or another, I guess I sold one of these to my buddy, who then gave it to him somehow or another. I don't know how that story went. But he talks to me the last year, I guess. He goes, hey, that white... Batwing call, he goes, that could be the best call I ever used. And to hear that from him,
yeah, that made you feel
good. Who first took me in the woods to turkey hunt, that impressed me. You know what I mean? So remember I told you when we talked yesterday, I said, oh, I got a few of them out and ran them. Because, like, I don't have that Batwing call in my vest last year or the red and black one here, the V-cut. But I thought, you know what, if I'm going to sell these, I mean, I used them before. It's just I've gravitated to all these fancy prophylactic ones, you know.
Which... And for good reason.
Yeah, for good reason. But yet I thought, if I'm going to sell them, I got to know. And I cut those and put them in, and I thought of John right away because I thought, man, that white Batwing is an amazing call. It really is. Beginner or expert level, you could do a lot. And then remember the guy I talked to you about from Pittsburgh that knows my wife, boss? And so he called me last night, O.D., He's thanked me for shouting out to him on the podcast. Yeah, he listened to it. He thought it was great. So he said, hey, what calls do I need? I said, send me a picture of what you got. So he sent me this. I was like, hey, if they're in good shape, I don't think you need any more because I think he has most of these. But he was telling me there's one call I see you don't have. It would be a white one with a red reed on it.
Real loud one.
Yes.
I had that. I don't know where. I think it's actually in my truck, and it's probably ruined because I left it in my truck.
Okay, so you know which one I'm talking
about.
Very
loud.
He told me, he said, he actually sent me a picture. Remember, I just looked at my phone a minute ago because I wanted to know which call it was. But he said he made a call the other year. He said, is that a turkey out there? Like, it was that far away. When he called with that, he said that thing darted in. Like, he said, nothing he's ever seen before. And then I said, you hit a hot bird. He said, you know, don't take away for how the call worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I feel any call he would have made, but he said, I was calling, and then, you know, blind calling, and then this thing come out. And when he hit that call, and I actually have a guy, Ben, that comes to the winery and picks him up when I'm there on a Friday night, and that same call, he said, you know, every day he's going around, and one day he takes that call out, and he hits him, and they ran right in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't carry that call either. Maybe I should. But, you know, it's like how many?
Yeah,
what are you going to do? You're going to carry these 13 calls around?
We were talking about this before we started the podcast. But, like, yeah, you're always going to go to Old Faithful first and then branch out from there. So I
think you found a new Old Faithful tonight, though.
We might. Maybe that's what we'll have to figure out. But what I try to do, I try to keep somewhere between 2 and 4 in my pocket. And I have the mindset of real soft up to real loud, raspy to clean. And I just try to break it because I feel like that covers – you got 13 calls out here. You could probably put 30 more out here, and they could all make minor differences.
Yeah.
But you can kind of categorize calls. And for me and the way I think, I want to have the best of certain worlds – the best one I can get. Like if you put, if you have 10 calls here that make high-pitched clean sounds, but there's just minor differences, I'm going to pick the one that for me is the easiest to work and then sounds good to my ear. And then I'm going to go to that next category. And I think what I'm getting at and what I've learned with running mouth calls is having a diversity and knowing what I know now, I would encourage anybody to get a diversity of them and work multiple calls, because years ago, I wouldn't pay the money at the big box store to do it. Now, playing with these calls and at the price that you're willing to give them, like, it's opened my eyes to learning how to turkey call.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, think about it. So let's say you wanted to get calls off me. I would sell you 6 calls for $30.
Yeah.
So if I sold you 6 calls and you don't like one of those 6, you might want to get a box call or something.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's either some pride factor on there, you can't use one.
Yeah.
We talked about it a bunch, but we haven't explained it yet. And I don't know what this is real well. You explained it to me last year. I guarantee a lot of listeners don't. We've talked about this prophylactic a whole bunch, but we didn't talk about what it is. Can you please explain? I know you had a little tricky learning to use it, but explain it different compared to normal latex.
So it's funny because where I buy my supplies, they used to sell that. You know, each piece of latex has a price. You buy it by the piece, but they sell it by the 100 or 1,000, whatever. So they stopped selling the prophylactic because cutting it was a pain in the neck, I guess. So what it is, it's rubbers, right? So last year, I buy a 50-pack off of this site, you know, where I buy the rest of my stuff. Mm-hmm. Because on there, the guy said, hey, I'm no longer selling it cut, but here's how you cut it. So I don't know if your wife's a crafter or not. My wife is, you know. So she has like these rubber cutting mats that you want ruin your table or whatever, and it looks like a pizza cutter. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this guy does on his table. I thought, oh, well, my wife has that stuff. So for what I could buy those 50 condoms for, and for how many pieces I could cut out just by what he showed, like it saved big time money to make it, you know, feasible for these calls. The problem is, like I told you the other year, I didn't know how to stack it. Like latex, you put one piece on the other. I have a file or a punch that I file down to sharp as a razor. And the latex, I could throw it in the air, it would come down like a leaf, you know. But this prophylactic doesn't stick together. Well, what I learned is if I only did one latex and one prophylactic, they stuck together. And then I slide the third one in, if I'm doing a 3-read, into my jig as it's sitting there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So 2 pieces are laying there, and it takes some time, but it's worth it, as you can hear.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, don't get me wrong. The latex sound great.
Oh, yeah, but it's so
much cleaner. The prophylactics sound great. I think it's easier to run these prophylactic calls.
So now picture the scene. I get this bag of condoms in the mail. And my wife's like, what in the world are these for? And I said, go get your crafting kit. And here I sit, freaking cutting these condoms in my living room as they're watching TV. And I'm telling you, my wife's taking pictures, taking videos, sending them to my 2 kids that don't live at home. She says, I can't believe it. And then,
oh my God, I didn't know this.
Yeah, you could pitch. Yeah, there's no lie. There I sit watching TV. I got like a TV dinner tray.
I'm
cutting these condoms. She sent a picture to her mom. She goes, you can't believe what's going on here. So I explained to her, like, I think I'd have to guess here, but I think I got four pieces out of each one. So I got 200 pieces at the cost of, or I mean, if I would have bought 200, I probably would have spent 50 extra bucks.
Okay.
And the little bit of work as I'm sitting there anyway, you know, and the little bit of harassment that I had to take.
I still can't believe that. Yeah. We just told that on the podcast. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, so there's the trick to these new calls. I had to take abuse for that.
You did have to take. You let the cat out of the bag. Now somebody's going to hear that and go, oh, Miller's making it. I can make more money doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if they want to do it, I mean, it took time.
I'm sure
you know what
I mean?
And you needed to have that cutter because it had to be razor sharp.
Right.
You know, so actually what you did, you cut the ends off, the back end, the front end, and then you kind of sliced one fold off and then opened it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah, that's the one there I was going to mail you. But you remember what happened the last time I mailed you a call.
The funniest part about it, so you had mailed calls to me. You mail calls to all kinds of people. But for whatever reason, you went to mail a call to me in the season, and I got a return to sender because of postage. But this is the one I ran. You said, don't blow it hard. And if you don't, you're going to overcall with it or break it. But this is one I was running Kiki's on. This is a pink one, double reed, ghost cut. I keep calling it a bubble cut, but it's a ghost cut.
So, and just so you know, that one has actually probe too.
Okay.
But I just, like, if you look at that tape, it's black and white lettering.
Yeah.
So that's just stuff I had, and I don't have a call for that color code.
Gotcha.
And I just wanted to try it. So like, if I was going to redo that, it would be in this color.
Gotcha.
So that's like a, what do you call it, a prototype. Okay, and then so I made
I got a Miller prototype with the cut condoms here.
Yeah, you, George, myself, and Mark own those calls. Oh, and Andy and Pierce, I gave one too. So
I can't make that key now. I'm on air.
Yeah, you're under pressure here. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good year. And, you know, I don't know how many people turkey hunt listen to this, but, you know, I think you'd be satisfied with my calls. I last year they had 82 kills that I know of, which is amazing. I think there's actually some, like I keep hearing, oh, a guy sent me a picture from Maryland the other day. He shot three. They got three last year, which I don't know if I counted those in or not. Like, he's trying to get me to come down there and hunt. And it's like, man, I just don't know if I have the time. It's like,
you're coming from you where you take the whole month of May off to turkey.
I know. Well, it's funny because I just talked to a guy today. I promised him I'd take him last year. And with that death in the family, I couldn't take him. So I promised him I'd take him this year. So we're going to Jersey, me and Mark, then to the youth hunt to Pittsburgh. Probably going to Pittsburgh for our hunt with me, Andy, and that'll be Monday to our Saturday to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Coming home Tuesday, going to the Poconos Wednesday, coming home Wednesday night, working Thursday, Friday, going with this guy to Tioga. As soon as we get done hunting Saturday, I'm coming home. Me and Mark are going to Bradford Sunday.
Well, you dummy, why don't you just go from Tioga to Bradford?
Well, I might do that, but I got to see how the wife feels about that.
Well, she knows by now you're nuts.
But also, like, if Mark could go with me, like, if that guy didn't care if Mark went with, it would be easier for me to him to shoot
sure,
over.
Sure.
But if me and Mark are going to have two cars, I'd rather drive home and then go with him. Because you know how it is. Like, we hunt in Jersey and stuff. Half the fun's talking about it on the way there and the way back.
Absolutely. You know? That's why I love, like, when you guys are done hunting Jersey around the time. Like, it'll be like noon the day after you hunted, and my phone will ring. It's Mark or Jason. Be like, oh, I get the annual report.
Yeah.
So this is a combo. This new one that I was talking about, Raven. This is a combo cut with an extra slice in it.
It's almost
like a double combo.
Yeah, so it's not a bat wing, because a double combo would almost be like a bat wing. So it had a big cut on the left, smaller cut on the right, if you're looking at the front of the call.
Yes.
And then I have it sliced up the middle of the V. And that one there, Mitch put it in, and as soon as Mitch used it, he's like, I think I found my new call. That sounds really good. I don't know how it will come across on the mic, but that sounds good. Matter of fact, I think there's one coming down the hill.
I have not seen a turkey behind my house in a long time.
Well,
remember the
story I told you when that one kid I coached
kid
from soccer, he
gobble.
Came over, and I said, here, cut that down or use it, and he hits the combo call, one gobbled behind my house. I couldn't believe it. That was good for the advertisement.
Well, we talked about calls for a while. We got another 10, 15 minutes. We can talk turkey. So I know last year we were talking, and you said it on the podcast that, you know, you're trying to get to that. I think 50 was the mark or something like that. And you're setting goals, but you're always setting challenges for yourself. Like, I know even with the bear hunt that we've been doing, you know, you went and got one with the muzzleloader. You got one with the shotgun. You decided you want to take the bow. You shot one with the bow, and now I know you're messing around with a stick bow, and you keep challenging yourself. What's the next challenge in the world of turkeys for you right now?
I mean, I didn't hit my 50 yet, but it was funny. One of the guys said to me the other day, "You know, it would help sell your calls if you went to contests and would win a contest."
A calling contest.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near that level. You know, now I know a guy at work, Clay, who maybe could take a call and do that. But I laughed. I said to the guy, you know me, I'm always got some wise-ass answer to say. I said, I already won a contest. Matter of fact, like 75 of them. You know, because I shot 38 and I called in. Oh, wow. I think it's like 38, 40 for someone else. But to me, that's the ultimate contest. You know, like we talked last year about your hunts and stuff, or the year before, like when you were soaked and way back. And you know what I mean? It's just you think back to all your hunts. Like I don't want to sound cocky here or anything, but my next challenge is just to keep going what we got going.
Yeah.
Like the last year, we talked about it before on air. The year we had combined with Andy Pierce, me, you, Mark.
It was ridiculous.
It was unbelievable. Like, you, other than Andy not filling one of his tags, and when he listens to this, I hope he has a little bit of shame in there. But other than that, think about that. We all
poor Andy
filled our tags. And I mean, and he, look, he's not dissatisfied.
No, I
like,
know
he was
not.
So proud of his kid for shooting that other one.
And, that's just friends jabbing.
Yeah, and right. Actually, when Andy's kid shot the second one last year, they were passing Andy that if he wanted, he would have shot before they went to Pierce.
Yeah.
But he wanted to see his kid shoot. So he knows I'm just razzing. Absolutely. Him. But, like, you look at that picture I posted the other day, like, at my garage door. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Heck
when
yeah.
Other people can't even find a bird, you know?
Well, and we talked about that before. You want to find birds, you got to drive.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you're located in places. Like, if you have the mindset that, man, there used to be birds here. Like, I just said it. I mean, I haven't seen a turkey at my house in probably 3 years. And, like, if you have the mindset, like, man, there used to be birds here, and they're just not here anymore, and you keep hunting that place, you're going to have the exact same results. That was me for a portion. There was a property I hunted, and I still hunt. But for a while, the turkeys weren't as good and plentiful as they once were. But I kept hunting there. It was the only place I hunted. And, you know, now I've just
think of the problem we have now. What we just talked about last night with maybe a possibility of another farm in Bradford.
Yeah.
My brother has a place now in Potter. They build a house up there, like a cabin, whatever, where it's right against game lands.
Yeah.
And he says, every time I'm there, I see turkeys. And I have to laugh when I talk to Andy or Mark. It's like, I don't have the time to go there. Like my brother says, I've never been there where I didn't hear or see turkeys. And I won't go there because I have all this other
Give
stuff.
Give me your brother's number after this. I'll talk to him.
I mean, if we'd want to go up there, because I want to go up, I said to my wife, look, I want to see his place. Like, he sends me pictures all the time, so I said if there's a weekend. But like I just told you, my schedule, it's coming up. It's what weekend am I going there?
Grief, that's a jam-packed turkey hunting schedule.
And I might
right
throw
there.
Maryland in there, too.
Yeah, now you're trying to figure Maryland, which they open a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why. So, like, you would hunt Jersey 1 week, it would be the youth hunt, then it would be Maryland and then our hunt. I could almost make a career out of April and May.
That's
huh?
all you got to do. Yeah, I think last year.
My wife would like that.
I think last year you and Mark went down to Jersey, and then he and I went to Maryland.
Yeah, you guys went to Maryland when I went to Iowa for
work. You were in work there. So I said this before. I'm thinking my next thing, I'm going to try to shoot the shotgun slam. I'm going to try to do it with every gauge.
Oh, well, you asked me, like, what could be my next goal. If you remember, I told you I shot two with a bow before.
Yeah.
So I would like to go back to one of mine with a bow, you know, so it would be like, go out and get one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I got a streak now of 29, 30 years, whatever it is. I don't want to break it just to try to get one with the bow.
Right.
But if I could go with these two tags and get one early and then try with the bow, I would love to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Because there you, like with those guillotine broadheads that I have.
Yeah, I never did that.
You have to wait till they're 20 yards. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be launching. Like, we shoot this TSS, unbelievable game changer. We talked about that. But with the bow, it's another game changer. Like, I can't shoot that arrow further than, like, 25 yards without it whipping and carrying on.
Right.
You know, so there it would be your scouting, your woodsmanship. You know, and I know we could do it. It just has to be, you have to say, I'm doing it. Which we talked the other year when you got that with the bow. Like, so, Mitch is lucky. No, he's not lucky. He committed to it and did
it. Just decide you're going to do it. You have that mindset that I'm going to be okay with whatever happens.
Yeah. Well, like, look at this year in bear season in Jersey. You're carrying a flintlock, and I'm committed to the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens?
Yeah, we ended
by
up
by Thursday. We're both like, hey, we did it. You know, but again, absolutely. I could have easily, like, not spent that right. time over there and just waited till Thursday to go with my inline and, you know, maybe I get one. Yeah. Maybe I don't. Yeah, yeah, who yeah. knows? But
it's all about how bad you want it.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm glad you came over, and thanks for coming over and chatting with this one. I really wanted to do it because I wanted people to get the idea when it comes to running mouth calls. I just think the whole custom call, I mean, custom calls have grown in popularity, and you know, getting to meet you and learning about your calls and everything else, I've just been blown away at what I've learned about turkey calling.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that. As I was coming up past Cabela's to come up to your house, one thing I wanted to mention, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. It isn't like what I'm going to say here isn't meant to downgrade anyone, but you could go to Walmart today and for $5 or even in the off season when they discount their stuff, buy an HS strut call for whatever, $5, $6, yeah. bucks, the same price as mine. And I'm not saying mine better than theirs or worse than theirs, but what I'm doing is hand stretching this thing, you know, one by one. There's no mass production here. I don't know how they make theirs, but
I don't know either.
You know what I mean?
I'd have to think quality control's got to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and that's like, the one thing, because you said every 50 calls or something like that, you check one.
Yeah. Yeah. I just cut one and throw it in. I got so many calls sitting on my table at home. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I guess what I'm saying and what I was thinking on the way here, if you're new to it and you're thinking, hey, I want to try a call, you know, for $5, you get one off of me, or you spend the same $5 or $6 at Cabela's. You know what I mean? And Cabela's takes half the money from the call maker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing, too, is even if you just take money out of it, let's just say you go and you buy a call at Cabela's, at Walmart, at whatever, Shields, whatever, and it doesn't work for you. Okay, now you're going back to the exact same thing of trying to figure out which one. So you're going to buy a different one without having any conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas if I call Jason and I say, hey, let me buy a call, and you send me a call, first of all, you're sending me one that you have faith in.
Yeah.
But second of all, if I run it and I can't run it, or I'm struggling, I don't like it, and I can tell you why, that's the awesome part about the custom call is, okay, you took that information, you've got a ton of experience now making these calls, adjusting them how you want. Here, try this.
Yeah.
You might have a higher success rate in choosing a call you like.
Yeah.
And then the other part about it too is, to me, like I've been able to develop a relationship with you. I got to try so many calls now. Like, it's been great for me. But like, the same thing could happen. Like, somebody, well, I'm confident that if I buy 6 calls for $30, I'm going to have a higher success rate because Jason's going to know how to cater my yeah. calls if we have some conversations, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing. Like, my, if you look at my website, which is jmillercustomcalls.com, like, my phone number's on there, or even if you hit me up on Facebook, you know what I mean? Like, I will respond right away, and like you said, the chat will have. You're not going to have that anywhere. You might go, you know, wherever you would go to, hey, how's this call? The guy might say, oh, my buddy likes it. You know, where if you call me, and you know me, I'm willing to talk about turkey hunting.
If you haven't figured out if Jason will talk about turkeys by now, you should know he likes to talk about turkeys.
Well, it's funny. Mitch just got a hold of me yesterday. He said his guy's canceled. You want to come up? I was like, yeah, I was
yeah,
on
I
my way.
Yeah, I can talk turkey.
But anyway, like, I would spend the time to talk to you and walk you through. Like, I'm not going to sell you something that's a waste of your time. A beginner, I'm going to sell you this. I'm going to tell you how to cut it. You know, because, again, so many people say, I can't use a mouth call. I think you can. Mm. I just never knew you cut them. The thing was too big. And, you know, once you figure this little stuff out, which you don't see on a package, that someone has to tell you that. You know, and then you get this.
Absolutely.
And I mean, look, now me and you have been friends now for a few years. There's no doubt that these things are proven killers.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you go on my website, you look at the gallery, and it's just, this is just what we shot pretty much on that gallery.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely. And there's a lot of pictures. I remember when you had the website up, and you were like, yeah, check it out. I got some pictures up there. I'm going through pictures. I'm like, good Lord, there's like 700 pictures on this website, all these dead turkeys.
Yeah, and a lot of them, like last year, we had, well, if you count your two, we killed 12 birds last year.
Yeah.
And one of them was a Jake. That's 11 long beards.
That's crazy.
Out of 5 or 6 guys. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you had Steve and Mike, me, you, Mark, Andy, and Pierce. So seven guys, 11 birds.
Yeah.
But our 12 birds and only one Jake. That's not bad.
It was wild, and I think it's going to be hard to top. But, you know what, I'm looking forward to turkey season. I'm going to do a little bit more scouting than I normally do. I'm checking. I told you I found a new property for us to hunt.
That we talked about now since we knew each other. One day we're going to have to hunt
turkey. In the past few years, we haven't turkey. We bear hunted together. We deer hunted together. Yeah. We haven't turkey hunted together. And we've talked about turkeys more than any other species.
But there's a good reason we haven't hunted them together. We've been finished. Yeah,
if we keep that going, I guess all is
if
well.
I never hunt turkey with you and I always fill my two tags, I can live with that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks again, pal, for coming over.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, you know, I appreciate you giving me the shout-out and giving me the platform to try to sell my calls here.
Yeah, real quick, Jay Miller Custom Calls on Facebook. You also do Instagram, too?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Jay Miller Custom Calls. Facebook and Instagram, and also jmillercustomcalls.com.
Yeah.
Check that out, guys, if you want to get some calls, and he'll hook you up.
Yeah, don't be afraid to call or email. Like, I'll head you back as soon as I can, and like I said, I'll talk your ear off about these turkeys.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, Mitch.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence. Helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.